Good evening. If you would turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to read a couple passages, and I want us to notice a pattern here. We're going to start in verse number 51. The Bible there says, "The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law." And so that word derision is the idea of to ridicule or to mock. So the psalmist here is saying the proud are constantly ridiculing him and mocking him, yet he does not decline from the law of God. Drop down to verse number 83. Verse number 83 says, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes." And so that idea of a bottle in the smoke is the idea of a wineskin. It was leather. And when it was put in the smoke, what would happen? It would dry up and become shriveled and be rendered practically useless. So the psalmist here is saying he feels dried up, he feels shriveled, he feels useless, yet he does not forget the Lord's statutes. Drop down to verse number 141. Verse number 141 says, "I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts." And so now the psalmist has a mental disposition of being small and despised, but he says he still does not forget the Lord's precepts. And finally, drop down to verse number 157. Verse number 157 says, "Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies." So now the psalmist here feels as though many are his enemies and many are those who are in opposition to him, yet he does not decline from the testimonies of the Lord. And so if we see this pattern, we can notice that even though the psalmist had felt all these negative feelings and felt this way, he still did not forget the Lord's precepts. He did not decline from the Lord's law. So that tells us that our emotional state does not take away our responsibility from obeying the law of God. To prove this, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Our emotional state does not take away our responsibility to obey the law of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, we'll start in verse number 22. The Bible there says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So now he's about to go into what it looks like to put off the old man and to put on the new man. Drop down to verse number 26. The Bible there says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Be ye angry and sin not. So with anger being an emotion, Paul here is teaching that a part of putting on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, is putting on the understanding and the ability to be in an emotional state, yet still have actions that are in accordance with the word of God. And to further emphasize this, verse number 27 says, "Neither give place to the devil." I'm reminded of Luke chapter 8, in the parable of the sower, and the seed that bore much good fruit was the seed that fell on the good ground, which was the good and honest heart. And we oftentimes use that context in the sense of conversion. But in order for Christians to continue to produce good fruit 5, 10, 15, 20 years into their Christianity, we have to continue to have a good and honest heart. And a part of having a good and honest heart is answering questions honestly. And I believe a question that we all have to ask ourselves is, are we giving place to the devil? When an individual is in an emotional state of anger, so much so that they start to disobey the law of God, that is a mind state that the devil can have free course in, and he can run rampant in, and he can have a field day in. And we as Christians have to ensure that we are keeping or guarding our hearts with all diligence to ensure that we do not give a place for the devil or give him an opportunity to influence our actions. And so now that we see that our emotional state does not take away our responsibility to obey the law of God, let's look at this in application. Turn over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. We're going to look at verse number 33. The Bible there says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence or respect her husband." Now, this can be very difficult, as I know, because we're humans, we can be difficult, but we're also humans and we have emotions, and sometimes we get upset. Sometimes we have long days and we don't want to deal with our spouse. Sometimes we have, you know, things that happen that emotionally charge us. But the Bible is still clear that the wife ought to reverence or she ought to respect her husband at all times, which means that the wife's actions, the wife's speech, the wife's tone has to always resemble or have respect in it, regardless of her emotional state, because the Bible is still clear on it. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 19. The Bible there says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." So that word bitter is the idea of sharp. Husbands not to be sharp against their wives. And so sometimes I hear some husbands say, you know, "I just had to put my wife in her place." Or, you know, the Bible is still clear that we have to, husbands cannot just talk to their wives any way they want to. The Bible is clear that the husband not to be bitter against or sharp against his wife. And so if we also understand Jesus' teaching that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, not only do husbands have to watch the way they talk to their wives, or we talk to their wives, our wives, but we have to also watch the way that we think about our wives, because that's what's going to come out in our speech. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24. The Bible says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." And so, of course, it's one another being the collective body of the church. I know there are some congregations that one side of the congregation doesn't mess with the other side of the congregations, and it's sad. But even though, you know, we may not, you know, be the most fond of the person, you know, sitting across the aisle or whatnot, the Bible is still clear that we ought to provoke or consider one another to provoke to love and good works, which means that we have to intentionally act in such a way that will prod our brothers and sisters in Christ to perform actions of love and good works, regardless of how we emotionally feel. And finally, turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So we saw the husband and wife relationship. We saw the church collective relationship. But the Bible also mentions how the Christian ought to act to their fellow man. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse number 17. The Bible there says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." So that word provide is the idea of when, hopefully one day, when I get some land and I have my farm, I can think about the wintertime in the spring and make decisions in the spring that will provide for my family in the winter, which means I can think ahead and I can make a decision early in order to provide for later. So this is the idea of provide, is to think ahead. And so if we as Christians are to provide things honest in the sight of all men, some people have the mentality of situational ethics, that whatever happens, whatever they feel, wherever they feel that the situation is best, that's what is right. But the Bible is clear that we have to think ahead and ensure that the decisions that we make in the future, we make the choice now to be honest and to do that in the sight of all men. Verse number 18 says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." So when I thought about why did Paul use the word therefore, I believe that because typically it's our enemies that give us wrath. But we also know that it's not only our enemies that give us wrath. Sometimes it's the people in our own household. Sometimes it's the people in our congregation. Sometimes it's our coworkers. So if Paul is teaching that if your enemy gives you wrath, treat him right. How do you think that we ought to act towards the people that we love? How do you think we're supposed to act towards our brothers and sisters in Christ? How do you think we're supposed to act towards our coworkers if they give us wrath? If we treat our enemies right, of course we're supposed to treat the people that we love right as well. And then finally, the Bible says in verse number 21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And so when an individual gets so upset or so angry or so emotionally charged up that they disobey the word of God, the Bible calls that being overcome of evil. But the Bible is encouraging us, and the encouragement tonight is not to be overcome of evil, but to overcome evil with good. If you're not a Christian today, we definitely encourage you to be. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that one of the things that Jesus did while he was here was he destroyed the works of the devil. And so that allows us not to live in fear of death. And in that same Jesus, 2 Timothy 2 verse 10 teaches us that in that same Jesus is salvation. And the only way we get into Jesus is through baptism, Romans 6 and verse number 3. If you are a Christian and you've been overcome of evil, you can make that right tonight. You come as we stand and then we sing.